What If It's Cool is proudly brought to you by Respo Clothing. Feel like a champion by wearing the merch from all the stars, including Luke Resner, B Squared, Savannah Rowe, John Stop Action, Nova Nichols, The Cooters, and my personal favorite, Conflict Axiom. So feel like a champion by checking out Respo Clothing. They can be found on Facebook and on Instagram. Want to step in the ring? Well, here's your chance to learn from some of the best. APW Academy is holding out their tryouts on April 21st at the Adrenaline Zone. Registration and information is in the description for you to become the next breakout star. Adrenaline Pro Wrestling presents Breakout 40, happening on April 26th, featuring the up-and-coming stars of Adrenaline Pro Wrestling. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out.
MXW presents Game Over, happening on Saturday, April 27th at the Sunbury Memorial Hall. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out.
Hello and welcome to another episode of What If It's Cool. Sorry guys, I gotta take this off. I can't see myself when I'm looking at them. Hello and welcome to What If It's Cool, the show that talks about anything and everything that is cool in the world today. I am Danny Nonstop, Daniel Porcrow, and with me is Tassie Nonstop. Tass, how are we going, man?
Yeah, good. Still in recovery from the Game of Thrones Red Wing. I mean, the latest episode of X-Men 97, but we'll get to that.
And also the original Johnny Nonstop, Dangerous Pete Morgan. How are you, brother?
We're talking about sad endings. Oh man, I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Hey, you shouldn't be sad at all. You beat John Stop Action yesterday at Energy 3. That's why I'm wearing the glasses.
I did beat him.
Yeah,
kicked him right in the nuts.
Just before we get into the episode, obviously, all three of us are pretty buggered. I know I am because I got home at 2 o'clock in the fucking morning because we were Pete were working at Alpha Pro Wrestling yesterday. Tass was just being a fan.
I'm still knackered.
But no,
I didn't do anything.
You did something. You read the comic book that I bought last week. You know.
Yeah, I finally got a chance to have a look at that AFL comic that you talked to us about.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm still, it was good, but I still have no idea what
I'm doing. How do you go from a gladiator battle to a footy game?
I know, right?
On the same page, no less.
And it goes back to Mayan history and like sort of the,
I wasn't lying when I said like, it's completely f***ed up comic. Like, and you know what the thing is? Like, after I was putting it away, freaking everyone was having a look at it because like most of us are footy fans and literally like DJ's just going, oh my god, how much do you want for it? I'm like, dude, I'm not selling this. No,
it's a national history. I'm not.
Oh boy. Well, also if you guys have not noticed, Richard is not with us today. He has unfortunately come down with. I don't even know what it is. I think he just messaged us this morning saying, "Yeah, it could be food poisoning or you know, maybe he has an excuse because you know he can't get over this episode because he's a crybaby. But you know, he's not here to defend himself. So, Rich, up here. All right, so we're here to talk about. I'm going to take this off because I seriously cannot see with the lights going right into my eye. I sure might change it for another one since I'm in a plugging mood. Because those were the John Stop Action sunglasses. I'm going to put on the Valentine's. Oh, this is much better. The Valentine's sunglasses, which is the love heart there. If you do want to get some of that, DM John Stop Action for those sunglasses. And also DM Natasha and Broderick's Valentine for these beautiful babies. We're here to talk about X-Men 97's Episode 5, or as we like to call it. What is it? What did you call it on the group chat, Tass?
The Game of Thrones Red Wedding episode.
I just call it the episode of I'm Not Okay. I'm not okay.
I didn't read the synopsis before I watched it. I think I was just really tired on Wednesday night. But you messaged me, what was it, like 4 o'clock, Tass, and saying, have you watched it yet? I'm like, dude, I'm at work.
I messaged me as well.
Yeah, he messaged me as well. Like, bro, I haven't seen it yet.
And I was like, what does he want to watch? It's just a continuation of the storm bit. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, you know, came up with Remember Me. I went, oh, sorry, what's the title of the episode?
Remember it.
And I'm like, okay, weird. Let's go into it.
Which they kind of did that with the comic for Life Death, because they had part one, but then they skipped part two until later on.
Yeah.
I feel like Chris Claremont is like an executive producer on this or something. He's like, follow my run to the letter.
So I think we might be getting Life Death part two later on in the season, but we'll see.
Please,
it's the next episode.
What's going on? Yeah, oh, it is.
Yeah,
all right, beautiful. All right, Tass, can you read the synopsis for this episode, please?
Okay, so I've got it here. As Genosha prepares to join the UN, select members of the team head to the island nation to be honorees. Back at the mansion, a behind-the-scenes press event risks airing the X-Men's dirty laundry.
That just sounds like a really bad episode of the Jerry Springer Show. Just from that synopsis, or if anyone is that old, the Sally Jesse Raphael show, whatever her name is. Because that was her segment. It's like dirty laundry, and then she'll get like four or five guests, and they'll talk shit about each other for like 10 minutes, and then the crowd just goes right off. I'm pretty sure Jerry Springer stole it off her. But this episode, from start to finish, the animation is the first time I have fully given my wholehearted. I loved it. Every little about to turn into that bloody boys meme. Everything, every bit of that minute detail, it was chef's kiss. Really? How did you guys feel about it?
Yeah, no, I loved it. Like, I wasn't expecting how it ended up, and that made it just a whole lot better, because then when it happened and you finally clicked, I was like, we're in Genosha, and it's essentially taking from the Grant Morrison, like the first arc they did, which was Ease for Extinction.
Oh, man.
And yeah, when I realized that, I was like, oh, and the way they did it, I was like, holy crap.
The one thing about this one is, and I know it's been like a running joke for the last few episodes, the opening song for this one, I'm kind of like it now, because they didn't really add anything here. They didn't change up from what the last episode was. It was fine. So let's move on, because I know you guys are probably going to try and pick on me on that one. But that's I'm just all going to say about that.
Bro, I'm happy it's finally growing on you.
No, I didn't say it's growing. I said I'm fine with it. It's not growing on me. It's still. I don't think this is ever going to grow on me. If you're going to go X-Men things with their TV series, you know, the only one that always like come to mind is just because it had a really killer guitar ending. X-Men Evolution.
Oh, shit.
Because
plus, don't we forget the Japanese intro for the original X-Men series.
Oh, yeah. That too. That was good. What about the X-Men, Wolverine and X-Men? That was all right. That was all right as well.
Was that an intro song?
It kind of was.
It was just dramatic music playing over like horrible scenes and stuff like that.
I still prefer that over this theme, to be honest. But that's just me. I know people are gonna fight me in the comments on that one, but that's just me on that. I am struggling because I can't remember what happens in the first scene. Who wants to go on this one?
I haven't rewatched it, unfortunately.
Because you've been crying.
it's too much. I've seen reruns or clips of all the endings, the middle bits, but like, yeah. Only thing I remember is it starts.
I believe they start when Rogue, Magneto, and Gambit just start entering into.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And it's a beautiful scene. Like the animation is really crisp on there. The one thing that I'm still like really trying to get my head is like, and this is the scene that really did my head in for it, that Magneto and Rogue were an item. It feels so random. And I know in the comic books, you know, we already knew about that, but it feels so random. But this is where like the sexual tension was like really there. I'm just like, you really went with him. He's a freaking knob. Like,
to be honest, man, like, if you feel touch deprived and things like that, you find out that there is a man that can actually touch you and he cares about you, of course you
But you I don't know. Like, we'll get further into that. But it's just like, he's a knob. Like, he just seems like a massive sourpuss to me. I don't think I could be with somebody like that.
And the fact that they kept that secret throughout the entire series, not just this season, but from the very beginning.
Yeah. Because, like, you got to feel for Gambit, like, thinking, hey, we battled this guy for over the multiple years, and yet you were f***ing him before.
Yeah.
And you didn't say shit to me. Like, that's in it. Like, it's like if hypothetically my missus, you know, turned around and said that her best friend, not that, you know, this is speaking out loud because it's not, but, you know, she turned out that her best friend and her were lovers in the past, you know, like that would be like, why didn't you tell me? Like, I think I could handle it, but at the same time, you've been lying to me this entire time.
Mm.
And just the way that Magneto is carrying himself around Rogue and in front of Gambit just feels like he's rubbing it in her face. Like, yeah, I got to be with her. You didn't. I don't know if you guys felt that.
Nah, it felt like they were building towards that, especially because, like, when he came back, they had that monologue. I think it was episode 2.
Mm.
And, yeah, it just felt like he's gone full frat boy with it. like, I hit that, you didn't. It's like, like, what the fuck? And Rogue hasn't even really done much. She's just been like, yeah, sort of. Like...
I think she's trying to play it off. Like, it's like an episode of Days of Our Lives where, like, she knows she's done something wrong, but she's like trying to laugh, like, "Oh no, that's okay." You know, we are only lovers for this many years, and my current lover, we can't do anything, but it's all good. It's all good. That's what it feels like for me for Rogue. She doesn't give it. She hasn't got a care in the world.
Yeah.
Like
that's subtle ignoring.
Yeah.
Then juxtaposed with at the X-Mansion, we got. Interviews with the rest of the X-Men that goes well at first, but then as soon as they get to Cyclops, he's still
going through.
Oh my god.
He's still going through what happened in the previous few episodes.
Mm.
Like that, I was thinking about this. Now, if you're going through trauma, or in this case, you know, like an identity crisis with your significant other, I don't think I would want to be interviewed because I know that the littlest could set me off, right? And this is how this further proves that I hate saying this because I actually like the character to a certain degree, but it proves how of a leader that Cyclops is, because you should have known that you can't control your emotions. Not a flight risker. You're just a risk to yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's single-handedly like. I was just sitting there screaming at the TV at him. Like, why did you do this, man? Like, you notice you're a reporter. It's like hypothetically, if I was like interviewing you, Tass, and then I, you know, and let's say we're doing characters, and then I pull out something from your old days before you became Manos, which I did, by the way, on this show. You know, and you would react the same way. Like, it wouldn't be good for you to do that.
No, of course not.
But the one thing I found is, like, when you know how they were saying about his glasses, and he's like, oh, I can't take them off. Did he just sound like the world's biggest Boy Scout when he was like, I can't take them off. You know, like it just sounded very Boy Scouts to me. I don't know. Like, is it? Are they trying? Like, for the first episode, I said he was like he finally became the cool character that I know Cyclops be, and now he's going back to being like the world's biggest knob. I'm really starting to hate what they're doing with Cyclops again. Like, it's just he looks cool, but I can't put my heart into loving this character anymore.
I mean, his life got flipped, turned upside down, inside out, and all that. He's realized his wife was a clone. He had a child with said wife, and then she came back, and he's like, hang on, what's going on now? Like, this whole it does make sense. Like, he shouldn't have been on the news report, especially if, like, he's trying to put over the school, because they had Beast in there, and it makes sense for him because, like, he's obviously the best to do it. He can articulate his words and stuff like that. And Jubilee, yeah, maybe she hasn't got the best media training, but she's also good for, like, the younger side. It feels like they put Scott in there just to, like, move it along. Like, here's the shit that's going on with your character. Especially, like, it was a good juxtaposition is the word. Because they had Scott telling his side of the story on TV, as well as Jean telling her side of the story to Wolverine in the park. So that was a good, like, occurrence going on. And yeah, like it felt really good that way. But yeah, with Scott, it just felt like forced narrative wise.
Mm.
Like they just had to put him in that spot.
But we'll say this though, like when he did go off, it felt very natural. Like sometimes you can get episodes of, and like X-Men's no different way, you know, it just, like the acting is just, it's very wooden. This felt really real for me, and that's why I'm loving this episode every time I have to rewatch it, because I'm just like, it felt like a real life interview, and you can just feel the emotion that, you know, they wouldn't deliver his baby, because he's not normal, he's, you know, going through all this stuff, and he feels oppressed, like the real, like, Scott's coming out there, like it's a side of Scott Summers that you've never really seen on the show before, and I fucking dig this scene so much. As much as I hate this character, I love this scene because it's really like bringing this emotion, and it's proves that this is a much more darker X-Men than we've seen before, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, he's turning from like Boy Scout typical hero leader has to be virtue of liberty and all that into like an actual person.
Mm.
That like is dealing with his emotions and just going, yeah, you know what, this shit's a bit f-ed. Like, especially when he goes, oh, we save you people and you all show us ungratefulness and like ostracize us, but if it wasn't for us, you'd be dead. I'm like, yeah, you know what, yeah, good on you, Cyclops. Yeah, get that bread, bro. Like, yeah, these people are just treating you like absolute garbage, even though you saved them with no thanks required, essentially. Mm.
Were they live episodes, or were they taped? Because it felt like the reporter was actually trying to help them, but like if that came out, like surely they could have edited it out.
They probably were gonna, because they were recording it then, but it felt live, especially at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
where they're reporting on Genosha.
Mm. Yeah. Well, speaking of Genosha, the Blackbird takes Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit to Genosha, and then they go into this and start talking about, you know, how they're trying to, you know, build it up and become more of a independent country. And then we get one of the most unexpected but one of the best cameos of the entire series. We finally get Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm.
Man. And it's the original voice actor.
Yep. Yeah. Original voice actor and everything.
Yeah. Like that, look at all the other cameos that you saw in there. You saw some of the
so many.
New Mutants, saw Glob, I think it is.
Yeah, yep. Saw Glob, Pixie, saw Pixie.
Dazzler makes an appearance, which I think is the first time she's been shown in the cartoon.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
The X-Men?
Yeah, she was shown in the original Dazzler. No, not the original Dazzler. The original merger episode.
Oh, and okay.
She had an appearance not long after that where you see her in a club and she's trying to hit on Cyclops right in Jean's face.
Oh, okay.
And it was, and her appearance in this episode is based off of that episode where she has like brown hair.
Right, okay. Instead
of the normal blonde.
Okay. I liked it. Like, we're just going a little bit further, but one camera that really took me out of it, and I've only just noticed on the watching before we did this episode, Archangel.
True.
Yeah. I lost my I was like, oh my god, he's still around. God, I missed that guy. Another very underrated character in the X-Men universe. And I thought, hang on, but I thought he died during his last stint on the show.
Nah, he got his original wings back and was like, you know what? Fuck this. Like, I got been traumatized. I'm
but he's
done.
But he's got his four horsemen wings at this point.
No, he's got his feather wings, but he's still got the skin and everything because there was no way they could change that back.
You sure? Because I could have sworn it was the blue metal shit.
Yeah, he might have kept them because I remember he did get them back. Like, he got back the feathers. I might be thinking of the comic book storyline, but I remember he did, like, after the whole Apocalypse saga, he was like, nah, I'm done, and just left, and then never came back to the show.
Because,
like, I've got his first appearance in comic book form. I think it was X-Factor number 24, and he's on the cover. And, yeah, like, because Archangel was one of my favorite characters for a long time.
Have you got it graded?
I haven't got it graded, no, because it's only it's in fair condition, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I don't think that, Mutant Massacre, I think, is when he started becoming...
No, Fall of the Mutants.
Fall, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Mutant Massacre we'll get to in a bit.
Well, like I'm digging this whole scene with you know, obviously the reintroduction of Nightcrawler, but one of the best things, and this is why I'm starting to say that this might be better than the original show, is that they bring in a lot of real world elements in this one. $10 for a fucking apple when they're trying to get some food, like
in the 90s too.
Yeah, like in all honesty though, if you really like, I was thinking about this. If this had really happened, I got a feeling that would be actually correct. They would be charging like $5 to $10 for an apple because they've got, they obviously haven't got any vegetation to get anything like that. Would easily take maybe, what, 5 to 10 years to grow a reasonable crop for so everyone can get a share?
Yeah, especially if it's only been a nation or society for only a few years. Like they haven't had a chance to like plant anything or make any production or anything like that. So yeah, it would be expensive going into it, but that's why like they use that point. I think they use that to make a point of like why the Morlocks are still in the position that they are, whether they're in normal society or they're in Genosha.
I just want to know how, like out of all this, how the f- are they getting cash? Like if they're now separated from America, where the f- is this cash coming from?
I think it might be like based on the currency that they had in Genosha before everything went down, because it was a proper nation before all of this went down, like before they got the slave trades and everything. They were an actual nation.
Yeah, but Rogue was paying with out of her wallet. So I'm thinking, okay, so taking American dollars, like maybe. Where's,
it could be like a Cuba situation, like it's. I'm not sure.
Unless it's government funded, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. If because I'm guessing some maybe younger listeners might be listening to that, Google what we mean by a Cuban nation. Cheers, Pete. Have I told you you're the world's smartest man?
Nah, mate. What are you talking
about? Oh, you're a lot more smarter than me because I didn't put two and two together with that one until you said that. Like that would actually make a lot more sense if they were trying to be like Cuba.
That's literally the only explanation I could come up with,
mate. Oh, it's like... true though. It's so true. But like as we move on to this one, obviously, you know, there's a lot more dynamic and between Rogue and Gambit, and you've got a feel for Rogue at this time. But I sympathize with her for a little bit, but then I'm just like, you know, it's not always about sex, it's not always about touching, but at the same time, like if you've never done that or you've had it and it's taken away, it is a bit hard. But this whole, you know, I want to be with him because I can be touched. I can do this. Imagine like how heartbreaking it is to hear from Gambit's side. You're like, but I don't care that we can't touch. I don't care that anything. I just I love you. I want to be with you. You know, like
it's almost like
he heartbreaking. Yeah.
But you see, obviously that's not the case when her and Magneto are on the dance floor and he's watching it and you can see
especially like after their whole conversation, like some things are deeper than skin share, and he's like, all right, cool, but he's saying like, oh, we'll be friends for now, just friends, because you need to, like, we need to sort this shit out. And then to see, like, especially when he gets mad, he's like, don't you touch that head, don't you she just touched.
And this is kind of her becoming a member of there's the new council now in Genosha. You got Sebastian Shaw, the White Queen, you got Moira MacTaggert.
Yeah.
And Magneto becomes the leader of it, but not unless Rogue's there with him.
Yeah, I found that very weird that they like, oh, I've got to have someone else. I mean, oh, let's just get Rogue. I'm like, what the f-? What kind of democracy is that? That just seems like, I made this so you actually have to be with me. Like I'm on rogue side here. Like, did you set this all up so you can have a chance to be with me again? Go. Like,
yeah. But then obviously she agrees to it.
Yeah. But
I think she did because she thought she had Gambit's blessing. And was thinking like, yeah, maybe I should go back to him because Gambit wants to be friends with us. But then as soon as she kisses him, she's like, actually, no, this ain't what I want.
Well,
but
she
it
went,
took her going that far.
Yeah.
yeah, Madeline Pryce is part of the council too.
Yeah, Madeline Pryce is there too, making her grand return.
The one thing, just going back to quickly with what Pete was saying, we'll get to Madeline in a second. It made no sense because like she was when she was telling the story to Gambit, she was making it sound like she can't be with him because he has all these issues, and it looks like he hasn't even changed, and she knows that, but yet she just goes, you know what, I'm gonna go be with him. Like, I don't understand her. I honestly can't understand her logic in her head doing that.
She might see something different in him compared to back then to like. After, say, the events of episode 2, where she thinks he's actually trying to change and he's showing that he's actually trying to change. But back then, yeah, he had a lot more demons, but now he's trying to fight them or something, and maybe that's her reasoning.
Maybe. Well,
like
let's
say,
get...
He's trying to be better.
Maybe. I don't know. I just... I'm not... But I maybe because, like, I'm just being me, but I just don't... I don't buy it. I got a feeling there's something sinister behind it. Not Mr. Sinister, but just something sinister. That was a joke. just going back to the council scene. Now, this is why I like to call this part the formation of Australia. Because...
I mean, not wrong.
yeah. I mean, I'm not really a politics guy, but yeah.
Because I literally gone, hang on, they were bad guys. They were bad guys. She's technically okay. She's a good guy, but like literally, this is like the formation of Australia where it was like a couple of good people, but the majority of them were convicts. Like, what the. Like, yeah,
especially the fact that it's both there's English and Scottish on the.
Genosha, Australia too.
Are we mutants?
I think the why I was thinking at this point it was. It was going to be doomed from the get-go is having like Sebastian Shaw, the White Queen there on a council, just like they were part of an arc that was really, really dark and, you know, hit the fan for them. Why the f*** are you going to do it again? I'm like, yeah, this is not going to end very well. And by the end of the episode, I was right.
Yeah. You know who we need on the council? Sorry, what
are
you saying?
Oh, no. Yeah. Then you saw in, the recent Krakoan age in the comics, Sebastian Shaw tried to do some shady shit and got caught out by Emma Frost and Kitty Pryde, and they put him back in line. So it's a bit of a comparisons there, but
Like even in the context of the show, like you know who we need for this council? The guy who manipulated Jean Grey into becoming Dark Phoenix. That sounds like a hell of an idea. And why not just chuck the women in that helped him? Because why not? Shits and games.
But also now we got the clone of Jean Grey there too, so we can start it all over again.
Yeah, lovely.
Dark Phoenix Part 2, Genosha in crisis.
The first thing he says when he sees her, you got any Dark Phoenix in you? No?
We should rename this episode Pick Up Lines from the X-Men Universe. Hell. Now, this is also the episode where I'm like, this is truly fucking 90s. So when we were going into that scene where the dancing with Rogue and Magneto, which was cringy as all that song that's in the background, I haven't done my research on this one because I only just realized this as we're about to come onto the air. I felt like that song Coco Jumbo, but like, I'm pretty sure that is the is the band that's singing this song.
It's Happy Nation by Ace of Base.
I'm not saying that this is that song. I'm saying I think this is the band that are doing that. Because it literally feels like I was like, I mean, because in my mind, I mean, it's either, you know, I was like, Coco Jumbo, or. What's the other one? Because something baby. It's from Ace of Base as well. All that she wants is another baby. Like that was the feel for it. I don't know. Can someone do a quick search and see if I'm right? If that is Ace of Base, because I feel like that is them. Because it felt like the tone. It felt also like it was the same vocals.
It was Ace of Base.
Yeah.
But is that the song that's in the background?
That's the song Happy Nation.
Happy Nation, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And to be fair, if you look at the lyrics of that song, whoa.
Yeah.
Man, sometimes my pop culture knowledge scares the shit out of me sometimes. Yeah, because obviously last episode, just how you were comforting Mason Stone loser after his loss to George Julio, and I did go up to him, folks, and say to him that Hugh Sanders Fade to Grey better. Unfortunately, if you guys have just seen the footage, he did try to choke me. So yeah. So, because I know you guys haven't seen the footage yet, but by the time this episode comes out, you will see it. Yeah, my neck still hurts. But you know, I will say something, and I will say it to your f-ing face. But yeah, enough of me with Mason. Who gives a f-? What's his name? You know, like this is really a very cringy scene for me, because literally it's like, where did Magneto learn to dance? Where, you know, and do all this sort of shit? Because like, it just feels like this is like harped on. Because like,
I'm sure you already knew.
I don't know. Like, I feel like this was like this is just put on because we know he's old. How old, we don't really know, but it just doesn't feel like someone who's grown up in that time frame that would know and be sort of a dancey figure. I don't know if that resonates with you guys, but just it doesn't feel like that's his sort of stick. You know what I mean?
Brothers had a lot of hobbies. Like, maybe he picked up dancing along the way. Don't know.
And speaking of relationships developing, now we're starting to get a glimpse of Jean Grey and Wolverine.
That brings me to a point that pissed me off, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Okay.
No, we're already gone past it, so
we've gone past that scene. So during the council meeting scene, you get a glimpse of you see a scene where Cyclops is sitting in a room, like reflecting on everything happening. And he talks to Jean and like, oh, describe your son to me, yada, yada, yada. And then like the whole room falls apart. And you see Jean, will you excuse us, Madeline? I'm like, hang on. Wasn't this 5 minutes ago you were kissing Wolverine? Hang on. Like, and 5 minutes later, he's going off at f-ing Cyclops like, oh, they used to be our thing. Like, bro.
Look what you just said. But yeah, maybe.
which that's kind of a reference to when Cyclops was seeing Emma Frost behind Jean Grey's back.
Yeah, came to my mind too. I
was and Emma's in that scene as well. Like, when Malin's was just talking to Malin about something on your mind. And
yeah, she just knows. You know, she just knows.
Yeah, of course he knows.
Of course the telepath knows what the telepath is doing.
Yeah. But that's a good point. You're like, we've forgotten that by this point that Wolverine and Jean Grey were, you know, an item. And I loved Logan's response. You know, you lost it. You just forgot that for a minute and then just moved on. You know, like. Mm. If that isn't badass, I don't know what is. Like he like that's why he is, you know, so legendary in comics, because he just, you know, he could be a man and just be nonchalant, but then like in his mind he's like, oh, at least he can play it off. I like that.
Yeah, he accepts his position because he's like, oh, I want you, I love you, but I understand you need to be with Scott right now. That's their tragic love story compared to like Rogue and Gambit.
I still think your idea from the two episodes ago was better. You know, you take one gene, I take the other.
Yeah, that's
it solves everything.
That solves so many problems.
Madeline, you go with Scott. Jane, you go with Logan. That's fine. It's all good, baby.
Oh, mate. Keep the marriage and the kid. Like, I've got mine. I'm happy, bro.
Yeah, and then we get to the final 10 minutes.
Oh, God. I'm going to shut my mouth on this one. I want you to talk about it because you and me had a long chat about it yesterday. I know I'm going to cry, so that's why I'm going to let you do it. Well, I ain't saying shit.
Well, okay. Well, first we start off with you hear a voice saying, turn the music off, turn it off. And you're like, wait, what? And Madeline Pryor's on the balcony, and then Cable appears. And he's like, you need to turn the music off now. But then Madeline. Before Cable disappears, Madeline recognizes him immediately, like, Nathan, something like that. And then you realize Cable was there in the first episode with Jane.
Yeah.
We do get a little bit of I think, was it Daniel or Peter told me this? Like, Jane and Madeline end up getting, like, some sort of, like, psychic feedback or something like that.
They get a, it's like a psychic vision, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they see, like, the massive field of graves and everything, as well as, like, if you pay attention to Cable's story, you know that, like, this is the tragedy he was trying to avoid. Hence why it's like, oh, what the hell is he doing here? Like, no, he was supposed to be here the whole time. It's why he was in Genosha in the first episode. It showed up. Like, it wasn't just random. He wanted to be there. He just got there at the wrong time.
I will say this, though. Sorry to interrupt. And this is what happens when you play a lot of video games, especially X-Men video games. When have you guys played the Deadpool video game?
Yes.
Yeah. So when
I've seen playthroughs of it. I haven't actually like played it.
When Cable when Cable comes out, you know what I wanted them to play at the start, as the moment you see him? Who the f is that? He's a man of time. Who the f is that? He likes the bike ride. Who the f is that? He out of the pool. Who the f is that? He's an out of the pool. It's fucking Cable. Like, if someone could stitch that and make it into YouTube video, that will easily get a billion views because that was fucking the perfect time for that song.
That'd be such a pop. I didn't think of that, honestly. It's been so long since I've played it, unfortunately, but yeah.
That's my ringtone, man. So that's why it's on replay all the time.
God, I can't wait for if they bring Deadpool to the show. Good God.
Mm.
Especially, because there was a big detail we missed. Especially if they make him MCU accurate, because guess who had a cameo right before Cable shows up? The Watcher.
What?
That's right, yes.
What? Yeah. What? What? Yeah, what?
You see his face and the stars.
I'm going to have to rewatch that. I did not notice that.
There's pictures of it all over the place. I have not seen it. People have screenshotted it to death.
Mm. Hang on, I'm going to have a look at this. You guys keep talking, I'm going to go look it up. Hang on.
Yeah, because that was the true sign that shit was about to go downhill.
Mm. But the Watch has shown up in the series before, I think.
No, not in this one. He has in the Fantastic Four one.
I think you might get confused with Spider-Man because the Watchers were in that one from memory.
No, he had Madeline Webb for that. Because they did have the Watcher in the Fantastic Four, because I think season one was the Galactus tease.
Yeah, that's right.
I haven't watched that show in a while, but because you had Madeline Webb in Spider-Man series, and like she was the one who caused the original Spider-Verse and all that. But yeah, like a lot of people have been theorizing that he showed up because it's either been confirmed or it's a very sourced rumor that Storm's going to be in What If season 3.
Mm. Yeah, I still haven't watched the first two seasons yet.
Oh, get on it, bro. It's really good, actually.
Mm.
Season 2, not as much, but season 1, top to bottom.
Mm.
But yeah, like a lot of people are thinking that the episode's going to be, what if Storm was at Genosha? Or what if Storm was at the Massacre?
Oh, like, that would be good.
Like, yeah, that'd be interesting. But yeah, like as soon as he showed up, everybody's like, wow, okay, X-Men 97 is in proper Marvel Cinematic Universe canon now.
Yes.
And that was the first breadcrumb or something that's tied them together.
Okay. Cool. I love the fact that they've I'm pretty sure they have. They've changed the voice of Cable, because that's exactly what I thought Cable sounded like in the comic books growing up. I love the guys playing him. It's because it's not too deep, it's not too gruff. It's just right to be like kind of sexy but kind of like scary at the same time. You know.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that, Tass. You know exactly how I feel about that.
Yeah,
that's okay. continue with what's happening in this scene.
But yeah, as soon as Cable disappears, you see a green flash and all hell breaks loose. and the way that it's shot too, it's like it cuts in and out, so it's like an image then black, then image then black, and just you're like, well, what the
hell? It's not even an explosion, it's just you stop existing.
Yeah
Like, oh.
Sorry to laugh at that, but that's a great explanation. It's so explosive. He just stopped existing. Great.
Because like, I believe, I can't remember if it got given a name or anything, but was that the Tri-Sentinel?
I think that was in the comics, wasn't it?
Like, it was in the comics. Like, I've seen the panel, but I can't remember if that was the actual Tri-Sentinel or not.
The only thing that I thought was weird and they got away with by saying this, like some Godzilla thing. I'm like, hang on, you can't say Godzilla. That's owned by, you know.
Yeah, that's
like all this.
Well, technically, it was a part of Marvel Comics for a brief time.
So. Yeah, but they've since lost the licensing, and I think it's Boom Comics now produce Godzilla. IDW.
They're doing Godzilla vs. Power Rangers too.
Currently. Yeah,
I've got number one.
Okay.
Can I just stress one of the best Godzilla comic books that they've ever done was Godzilla Goes to Hell. Like, if you haven't read that, f-ing hell, is that so good?
Personally,
have you got it?
No, I haven't got that one. But personally, I'm more a fan of this one. Rulers of Earth.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, that's good too.
It's basically like a massive f-ing amalgamation of the ones. But yeah.
Speaking of, because obviously you just mentioned the Power Rangers. Have you guys checked out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Power Rangers? That was f-ing awesome too.
You mean this one?
What?
Yes! Yes!
I was about to grab the Godzilla one, but then you mentioned the turtle.
Well, this is the one I'm reading currently.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
The really second half of Mark Spector Moon Knight.
Yeah, that's cool. What have I got for Moon Knight?
We're nerdy.
I've got the first volume of Brian Michael Bendis' run with Moon Knight.
Ah, yes.
That's all I've got for him, unfortunately.
Yep.
Well, since we're on a show and tell thing, the one I'm currently reading is this. I don't know if you could be able to see it. Hang on.
I see the Netflix sticker. Oh, yeah.
Master of the Universe Revelation, the prequel to that. Nice. I finally got it. Only $20, mind you. It was actually pretty good. And then I've got like, you know, if I'm going to go all nerdy, I'm going to go out. I finally bought one because I haven't played this in so long. Again, you can't see it because of the bleak background.
I saw the D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons starter kit.
I've got to show you all the books I've got. Man, what have I got? I've got these books. There's that's all my one shots.
Cool.
I've got more like source books. I've got the DM guide, got the monster manual, got the player's book, Bolos Guide to Monsters, and Xanthar's Guide to Everything.
You know what I feel like we should do when all of us are in Victoria? Should be all... Tass, do you play D&D?
No, I did once, like years ago. Wasn't really... my brother used to play on the Commodore or the PC. Like, they had the old Dungeons & Dragons games.
Yeah.
Like the strategy games on the computer, but
like Baldur's Gate and all that, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
All right, so Tass is out. So, but you know who should we get on to play to do an episode of play?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Weaver.
True.
Weaver is a huge fan of Dungeons & Dragons. I talked to him about that briefly. I know Valido got back into it. I'll be fine. I haven't played D&D since I was probably like 13, 14. I wouldn't mind going back into it because it was fun doing that. I think it'd be great. I think it would have a great afternoon for us.
I'd be happy to run it. I'm an experienced DM with 10 years behind me.
Sorry, experienced what?
I'm an experienced DM. I've been doing it for nearly 10 years. Oh, you.
I think we've gone on too long of a tangent.
Yeah, we got a bit talk about
Steinbeck. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Yeah. I couldn't resist.
We just don't want to go into the tragedy, all right?
Yeah, I know that's...
All right, let's get to the crying bit. I know I'm going to cry. Let's do it.
But yeah, all right. So who's been taken off the board? We've got...
So far, Madeline Pryor has been taken off the board. Cable's
Shaw.
Yeah, Shaw, Emma Frost... Archangel.
Oh, I don't think we saw Emma.
Nah, she was right next to Sebastian Saw. In the
Moira, wasn't it?
Madeline was shown another bit, and then they had the leader of the Morlocks in there as well. She was dying.
She was shook.
Archangel was another one. I can't. There's a fourth one. I just can't. The luck.
I'm pretty sure anyone who would have got f***ed up got. Up, so it's safe to assume everybody's almost dead.
We got the big hero moment with Magneto.
Oh yeah, the subtlety and the connotations behind using the train as a whip. Because like no, because I know you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, Daniel.
What am I thinking?
You're freaking. As soon as I said the word whip, you're like. Ah!
No, I don't think you actually think. I don't think you actually think I'm thinking. I'm assuming you're thinking I'm thinking S&M, yeah?
Yeah, dirty boy. Dirty
yeah,
boy.
No, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking.
Indiana Eric.
Leech was there with Magneto because we saw Magneto trying to protect him. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so Magneto's taken off the board.
I'm already starting there already.
Big moment with Gambit where the title comes in. The name's Gambit, mon ami, remember it.
Mm. Which was the first, which was one of the first lines he said in the show, too. So coming full circle. Like his first battle, my name's Gambit, mon ami, remember it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so yeah, full circle with that.
Well, no, he said the name's Gambit, remember it. You know, yeah, like that. Oh, I'm already starting.
Oh, yeah. And especially after he saves Rogue, too.
Rogue's reaction when Magneto got taken out, I was like,
okay. Yeah. Honestly, I thought she was going to do some damage to it.
Flying straight towards the Sentinel.
One little aspect of this that I loved about that scene, obviously I don't like the fact that, you know, people perish in this, but I thought it was a great little homage to the character of Magneto when he looks at Leech and just says... Don't be afraid in German. Mm. Like that.
Yeah. That's the first one. Take it right back to the origin. Oh
man.
Like, you can imagine the context behind it. Cause like, you got to know that at one point his parents said that to him.
Yeah, exactly. That I think that's why it resonated with me because that's just,
we know Nightcrawler and Glob, they survived.
I
don't know. Did they cop the blast at the end?
No, but I don't know where they were at that point.
We saw them afterwards, I think.
You saw them afterwards? Because I do
know. Yeah, you did.
Right, who else? Moira got taken out. I don't know if they're going to do the whole, like, 10 lives of her mutant powers or something like that. Yeah. But I don't know if they'll do that, but...
Banshee was there too. Banshee was one of
He was the first one to die.
He was the first one. Yeah, because he had someone in his arms and he's calling out to like Rogue and Gambit and he got blasted. Oh, bro. Yeah, because Banshee was on the council as well.
That's right. Yeah.
And I will
that
say
was the moment when you realize, oh, shit, that now.
Yeah, now it's real. Because I, not to. Like, one thing I will say, though, not to speak ill of the dead, I'm glad they got rid of that weird scream that he did in the original show to fly. She's like, so instead he could just talk and fly. Like, yeah, you, yeah, good boy. Like, oh,
hey, Rich, if you're watching, at least it wasn't me making a joke.
Oh, this is, at least it's not as bad as the one I made last week.
Oh, yeah, and I am so glad that we said that off camera, because Jesus, it was that bad.
That was bad.
I know. I kept egging you on, but at the same time, now I understand why.
Now you understand why I'm like.
There's a reason why they call him dangerous.
Oh, bro. Then he dies, and that was very serious.
And then the final moment of Rogue cradling Gambit's body, and she finally touches his face. She
finally touches him.
And we get a line similar to from WandaVision, when Wanda goes to the body of Vision, "I can't feel you."
Mm-hmm. Oh, why'd you have to say it first? Now the tears are coming.
I can't feel you.
And cuts to black, and we get a more serious theme for the X-Men intro, for the outro.
It's the anime, it's the same intro, just done in like a low-key piano.
Oh, yeah. Really insane episode, but really well done.
Sat in shock for like a good 5-10 minutes after those credits, because, yeah.
Oh, I just like the fact that after the credits roll, I was bawling like a baby. And my godmother walks in and goes, "Why are you crying?" Like,
you wouldn't get it.
I'm just pointing at the screen. And she's like, "Come on, it's just a cartoon." Like, "Shut up, Mom. It's not a cartoon."
How dare you?
Pretty much the response I got. How dare you?
I was just in shock, so I just picked up my pet puppy and just started cuddling her.
Aww.
Now, I'm gonna put the photo of something that Taz posted recently. It's gonna be right here.
That was from, I think, Snapchat originally, but yeah.
Please add Taz onto your Snapchat, because those little things are just, it's why I love this man. I remember you sent it to me like straight after I, like, literally 2 minutes after I sent you, "I finished it. I hate you," and then you sent me that. And I went from being sad to like giggling. So I was like, "Thank you, Tess, for that."
Oh, you got the photo there.
Yeah, like, so literally, as I texted you that, you texted me like 2 minutes later, and you got that. And I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, "Okay, I'm fine now. I'm okay." But I don't know. If it's gonna like last me for the rest of the night. I'm gonna have to get something off the mind. That's pretty much that trying to signal
everyone's reaction to the episode. But yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, Tass. I think you commented on it, but even our local comic book shop put up a Facebook status saying, "Is everyone okay after episode 5?
Yeah, All Star put a post on.
Yeah, All Star did it. Yeah,
All Star did it. My local place did it too. Shout out to Secret Headquarters. Sadly, sorry for a cheap plug on this one. It's not a plug I'd like to be doing. But they will be closing their doors as of the end of the month. But no. So it's not. It's just the actual shop, not the actual company itself, which is good. They'll be going to online and doing the Sunday. I can't remember the suburb now off the top of my head, but doing the Sunday markets there. So at least they're going to still be in business. It's such a shame. Like, I was there at the beginning, and when they opened, and although very small store. I've forgotten her name now. Jesus, this is how bad I am. They've always welcomed me with loving arms. Always willing to, you know, go out of the line to help us find stuff. And some of the vintage stuff that they get is absolutely fantastic. They had some graded stuff in the '70s, and I was like, holy shit, I've never seen like one of these in a while. That's not at a convention. Like, I want to get one of these. So, Secret Headquarters. Yeah, make sure to check them out. They are, they're absolutely great little comic book shop. Also, comics as well, very, very, very good. I don't always go there because it's a bit too far for me. But you both go there.
Oh, All Star Comics, Minotaur, There's
Comics
one
that, R Us in Seymour.
Yep, Comics R Us. Yep. That's near my work. So
I used to go to them all the time. All the time, especially when they had their Melbourne store. I was so sad when that closed.
Can I just tell a small, just a quick story about Comics R Us? So they've been around for almost 32 years, I think, at this point. I went back. So 10 years ago, I went back there for the first time in maybe 15 years at that point, maybe. And the guy there kind of recognized me, and he goes, "Oh, your name's Daniel, right?" I went, "Yeah. How'd you know?" He goes, "Your cousin is," and I'm not going to say his name, but that. I go, "Yeah." He goes, "And your dad's name is Danny." All right, yeah. He goes, "Oh, your dad never picked up his order from like 1997." I'm like, "Yeah, because he died."
He was probably like, oh shit.
So I'm embarrassing. I'm embarrassing badly.
I would have so popped if he's like, "Your dad didn't pick up your order from 1997. Do you want it?" I'd be like, "Do you have it?" Like,
No. I actually said, "Do you actually have it?" Because I would. Yeah. I know exactly what he would have had. So he would have had like all of that month's Action Comics, Super Adventures of Superman, Detective Comics. I don't know which Batman run it would have been, but also it would have been the X-Men series for me. So I'm like, if he still got it, some of that might be worth it. A couple of things would be great. And he has to sell it for me because I sell it to me for those prices because that's what it was originally invoiced for. Yeah. But no, he didn't have it.
Of course he didn't.
Ah, sucks. Well, you mean, in fairness, if you're holding it for anything more than 6 months, you know, you have to sell it, so.
Yeah, 6 months, let alone how many years. The close to 30.
No one, like.
I just love the fact that he remembered me out of all those years. Like, it's like, you got to remember, I'm, at this point, maybe 4'2", you know, not that fat yet, and a shitload more hair than I've got now because my hair's receding. You know, but that's good customer service.
That is. Yeah. He remembers me every time I walk in there, and I haven't been there for like nearly a year at this point.
Well, in fairness, man, you know, when we see you, it's hard to forget about, you know, forget that face.
Love you too, brother. Love you too.
All right. Now it's time to ask a sample question here on What of the School, episode 5 of X-Men 97. Is it cool? Tass.
Do I really have to answer that? Yeah, of course it was.
And Pete?
No. That is really good. Really good.
I want to say not only yes, I'm saying this is the MVP so far, of this series. And what's worse is I can't remember which one of you guys messaged me. He says that the original showrunner has said that this was just the beginning.
You said that to me.
And then the last three episodes are the clincher. So I'm like thinking, I really don't want to cry anymore. Why have you given me this high expectation now? Now I've got to get a big box of tissues, you know, because I've got to be crying all the time. Oh, you for saying that. Oh my god.
Lots to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us again. Pete, where can we find you on all your socials?
You can find me at danger_is_Pete on everything, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, even if that's your fancy. I wrestle for Alpha Pro, mainly on the Alpha Energy shows, which take place at Pipeworks Market at least once a month going forward. And if I am on any other shows, I advertise them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all that.
Yep, and we will be advertising on here because you are a member of What If It's Cool now, so we'll be advertising all your appearances. Tass, where can we find you on all your socials, and can you please actually say it this time instead of me just listing it?
You can look for Tass Alexander Togolidis on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. You can also look for Tass Togolidis 2020 on Snapchat, and I wrestle currently for Victoria Pro Wrestling and Adrenaline Pro Wrestling. Also, on occasion, Australian Outlaw Wrestling. They're the main ones I'm with at the moment.
Yeah, because you've left Alpha because, you know, you had a little bit of a crybaby moment. You know, I would too.
Really?
I would too. I would too. Hey, I'm putting you over. I would too if I was in your position too. You being the last heavyweight champion, and you're not, and then when we come back, and then you're still, it's still technically the champion too. and they said, nah, we're going to do a complete reboot, and you got to do this. Like, I'll be in the same boat too. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying you could have handled it slightly bit better. But then again, I know your history.
Oh, another story for another time.
Yeah, in the future. Is there any shows that we can actually announce? Because, like, I know we've got another Alpha show, me and Pete, next month. It's May 11th, but I don't actually know the title of the main show. We have, obviously, NG4, but obviously matches on now. Do you know what the the main show is called?
I saw on the run sheet it was called Malice.
Yeah, Malice, that's it. Thank you. Yeah. So Malice will be the next show, May 11th at the Pipeworth Market. Yeah.
So APW Adrenaline Pro Wrestling Breakout 40 at 5/V7 Brunel Road, Seaford. That's on Friday, April 26th.
Yep.
And I think the day after that is MXW.
That's right.
Game over in Sunbury.
Which I believe is at the Sunbury Memorial Hall.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not working that show because I don't work for MXW. MXW, if you ever need a backstage interviewer, hi. Pete, are you doing anything for MXW? Because I know that you're chumming with a lot of people there.
Not currently, no. Nothing in the books with them. I've been talking to management, but nothing in stone at the moment.
Okay. Tass, is the Gray making an appearance this time or no?
Probably around the same deal with Pete. Just have to wait and see.
Fair enough. All right. Well, with that being said, don't forget to like, share, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Want more from Whatever School? Make sure to check out the YouTube channel where you can find the latest episodes of Mukbang Around, the action, and of course, the podcast. And don't forget to follow Whatever School on all socials. You can be found at Whatever School. Keep that support coming. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.